The essential disease is that the mind is identifying with this body as the self. The essential disease is we have forgotten our true spiritual nature. We are eternal, we are full of knowledge, we are full of bliss. It is our nature to be happy, Satchit Ananda. We must have that happiness somewhere. The only real way to give up bad habits is to replace them with good habits. In order to have the determination and strength to do that, it is necessary that we have association that will enliven us and protect us. What you associate with, you become like that. That is the law of nature. Srila Prabhupada gave a simple example. If you put iron rod in fire, after some time in association with fire, it becomes red and hot like fire. If you put the same iron rod in ice, it becomes ice cold after some time. Every parent, their greatest concern, if they love their children, is who and what they're associating with. If the child is associating with prostitutes, drug addicts, then the child is going to become addicted to sex and drugs. It's inevitable. If the child is associating with saintly people, then there's every chance, there's every facility for that child to become happy and saintly. One can change one's habits. One can change a bad habit into a good habit due to good association, and one can also change a good habit into a bad habit due to association. Bhakti yoga is the detailed science of how to transform our consciousness through association. What we are talking about is transformation. You cannot negate your desires. You cannot simply negate your addictions. They must be transformed. Transformed into something positive. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a story of Narada Muni. He was just a simple boy. But due to his association with transcendentalists, saintly people, his ideal in life became so strong to realize and know God. There's the story of Dhruva. Dhruva, he was overwhelmed with anger and anxiety due to the misbehavior of his stepmother and father. He wanted revenge. But in seeking revenge, he happened to meet Narada Muni. And by Narada Muni's association, Narada Muni, because he associated with saintly persons, he became saintly. Because Dhruva associated with Narada Muni, he became saintly. He became purified. Transformation. Srila Prabhupada explained that if we really want to deal with the true problems of life within us, we must clean our hearts. When we clean our hearts, we naturally clean our habits. But also, as we try to clean our habits, that helps us clean our hearts. Culture really means invoking certain habitual lifestyles in people's existence. Does it not? Association. Who and what we associate with is the most important decision that we can make in our lives. Because we will be influenced and affected by that, and our future will depend upon that. Chaito Dharpana Marajanam Bhavamahata Bhagmini Bhapanam. In association of spiritually minded people, there is the great determination to overcome the propensity for vice. Just as Alcoholics Anonymous, Gamblers Anonymous, Sex Anonymous, Anger Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, and so many other anonymouses, they depend on each other for support. In a similar way, we must have the association of devotees who give us the support to actually uproot the weeds of selfishness, of lust, envy, anger, greed, pride, and illusion. These are weeds that keep coming and pushing us into nefarious activities, or even pious activities, so-called, that simply waste our lives. People are addicted to wasting their lives with just frivolous things. If we want to understand the real treasure, the real goal, then we must cleanse our heart. Chaito Dharpana Marajanam Bhava Mahadadakvina. The chanting of the holy names is the most powerful medicine for purifying the heart. The chanting of the holy names of the Lord, when we habituate ourselves to that, it becomes such a glorious benediction that it literally transforms lust into love. Greed, it transforms our propensity for greed into service to others. It transforms our inclination of pride into humility, of mental imbalance into steadfast determination for the highest virtues. Our beloved spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, he went to America with only 40 rupees on a cargo ship called Jaladuta across the Arabian Sea of the Atlantic Ocean. The Lower East Side of New York, the Haight-Ashbury district of San Francisco, these were places of the hippies. Do you know what a hippie is? Sociologically, most of the hippies came from middle class, or upper class families. There was very, very few hippies from low income families. They're mostly wealthy people. They saw their parents were so successful. They had money. They had nice cars. They had good furniture, nice houses, telephones, record players, televisions, everything. But they saw emptiness. They saw a culture of just habituation to materialism and selfishness. And they didn't want that. So they rejected it. They rejected the habits, the morals, the ethics of their parents, but they didn't know what to replace it with. That's what a hippie is. You replace conventional society, but you don't have anything really to replace it with. So they were searching through drugs, through various types of spiritual pursuits, through free sex, through all these different rebellious ways to go against the society of their parents. It was these people that Srila Prabhupada met. Can you believe it? A 70-year-old man who was living for years in Vrindavan, living by the highest spiritual brahminical principles. He never tasted meat in his life, never took an intoxication in his life. He was a very responsible, chaste, and faithful husband and father to his children in his earlier life. He was living in the holiest of all holy places, Vrindavan. at his age, what a culture shock that must have been for him, where young boys and girls were having relationships without marriage. It wasn't even a consideration. It was just the style. It was the fashion. We're taking drugs, LSD, marijuana, hashish, even things like STP and cocaine were regular. It was the fashion. Eating meat, drinking alcohol, all these things. No conception of God. By association with Srila Prabhupada, he performed a miracle. One lieutenant of the police force came to meet Srila Prabhupada in Chicago. The government, in the newspapers and magazines Prabhupada read, they were spending tens of millions of dollars trying to save the young people from drug addiction, alcoholism, and other types of very, very detrimental imprisonments. And they were failing. Tens and millions of dollars, but nobody was being saved by the government's projects. And here, thousands of those young people addicted, they were giving up illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. And they weren't miserable. They were giving up smoking cigarettes, which is so very, very difficult to do. And they were dancing in the street, beaming. People were thinking, these are the happiest people we've ever seen. Why are they so bright-faced? They couldn't understand. How is this possible? Our dear godbrother, Shyam Sundar, he's an example of how bhakti can transform a heart to help us give up very difficult habits. In 1967, Srila Prabhupada asked him to carve the deities of Lord Jagannath, Baladev, and Subhadra from a little model that they had. He was in his room working very, very hard. He was a devotee. One day, Srila Prabhupada came into the room to examine how the deities were. And he saw in the room, according to Malati, it was on Baladev's head, there was a pack of cigarettes. He was smoking cigarettes as he was carving the deity of Jagannath. He didn't want to. He knew it was wrong. But he just couldn't give it up. So Prabhupada looked at the cigarette and he smiled. He said, "What is this?" And the cigarette came down on the floor and Prabhupada just hit it with his cane, the pack of cigarettes. And he said, "Do you want one little stick of tobacco to stand between you and Krishna, God?" Prabhupada had such compassion. You take the name of God. You pray to God. You follow the process of bhakti. And as Padma Purana and Rupa Goswami explains, the power of bhakti is it actually pulls out the root of the weed of sinful desires, removes the cause of these addictions, and fills our heart with loving service to the Lord. Within a matter of a week, Shyam Sundar gave up smoking cigarettes. Something that was so difficult becomes so easy. Why? Because he replaced it with something higher. Param drisva nivartate. This is the teaching of Bhagavad Gita. Unless you experience a higher taste, it's very difficult to continually be able to give up our lower conditional habits. Krishna says we must conquer the lower self with the higher self. So in the association, proper association, we learn how to replace bad habits with good habits. Srila Prabhupada gives example of Maharaj Parikshit. When he was in the womb of his mother, he saw Krishna, who came to save him. And because he saw Krishna at such an early age, he was habituated to Krishna. It was such a habit that after he came out of his mother's womb, he was looking for Krishna everywhere and in everyone. Srila Jiva Goswami explains, if a parent gives the child the proper impression of Krishna, then the child will naturally be like Maharaj Parikshit, will naturally love Krishna, will naturally be able to overcome these vices if they're raised in the proper environment. And even if they have some difficulties, they'll have the inner impression that will help them overcome it. We have two examples here. Gauranga Kishore Prabhu and Vishwambar Prabhu, please stand up. These two boys were born devotees in America. Their parents are wonderful devotees. They imbibe within them a real impression of Krishna in their hearts. But due to association with American society and school, they became quite crazy. Yes? Last time I saw Vishwambar, he had long matted hair. He was like a wild man. And Gauranga Kishore also. They were experimenting with so many things. Yes? But because that impression was given to them in their youth, as soon as they came in proper association with Lokanath Maharaj and other devotees, naturally, attraction to the holy name, attraction to a pure life. So it is the main responsibility of the parent to give their children spiritual habits so that there's not this vacuum by which they have to fill with materialistic habits. How one becomes habituated to positive spiritual activities, there are so many examples. There was a young boy. His name was Gopal. He was living in Jagannath Puri at the time of Lord Chaitanya. There was one man he saw. That man, he was so deeply immersed in chanting the holy name. He was habituated to chanting the holy names. His tongue just wouldn't stop chanting. He was constantly, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Always chanting. He was tasting such nectar. He was getting such spiritual ecstasy by chanting the name of God. He just couldn't stop chanting. He was addicted to the nectar of love of God that was coming through chanting the holy names. So when he had to go to respond to the calls of nature, he was thinking, I shouldn't be chanting God's name when I'm performing these types of duties, responding to the callings of the body. So he was holding his lota in one hand, his left hand, and with his right hand he was holding his tongue. Because as soon as he let go, the tongue would go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Rama, Hare Rama. So little Gopal saw him. He said, what are you doing? He said, I can't stop chanting. It's a habit. I chant. But I'm going to pass stool. I can't chant when I'm passing stool. I can't put Krishna in that situation. Krishna is not different than his name. Hare Krishna. And Gopal said, don't you know the teachings of Lord Chaitanya? Nam nam akari bahuda nija sarva shaktis. In this verse, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says that Krishna is present personally in his name with all of his opulences, with all of his powers. And there are no hard and fast rules for chanting the holy names. So you could chant anywhere. There's no offense. And you could chant the name of God anywhere in any situation. And it's all auspicious. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, very happy. Lord Chaitanya happened to see him say that. And he was so happy with the way he preached. He had such faith in the holy name that Lord Chaitanya named that little boy Gopal Guru. And he became one of the greatest acharyas of our sampradaya. If we do good for others, if we do the service of the Lord for the welfare of humanity, it becomes our nature. There's a story about a sage who was sitting on a riverbank, and a bypasser happened to see him. A scorpion fell in the water, and he picked it up. It stung him. Ah! Being stung, it fell out of his hand. He picked it up again from the water. Ah! It dropped. Picked it up again. Ah! The person said, "What, are you crazy? Scorpion keeps stinging you. Why don't you just let it drown?" The man said, "It's the nature of a scorpion to sting. And it's the nature of a saintly person to show compassion to those who are suffering." Now, I'm not telling you should pick up scorpions. We cannot artificially imitate. But we can condition ourselves that our second nature is to live for the welfare of others, to glorify God in everything we do, everything we speak, and all of our thoughts. That is our nature. Srila Prabhupada explained that this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. It is not an artificial imposition of the mind. This chanting of Hare Krishna awakens our original natural consciousness. Krishna consciousness is our nature. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunoi Sravanadi Sudhichiti Koriya Yudhoi. It is everyone's nature to love God. But we have created so many conditionings that we are bereft of that great treasure that is within our own hearts. We must invoke that original spiritual consciousness through developing good habits in good association. Someone asked Srila Prabhupada, "Can you show me a miracle?" He wanted to say, creating some ashes, or creating some gold, or reading his mind, or telling him who his mother was and when his mother died. These are miracles that many mystics demonstrate to the world. But Prabhupada explained that my miracle is I have transformed hippies into happies by inspiring them with the association of Krishna, his name, his beautiful form. These people who were addicted to all kinds of materialistic activities, who were morose and rebellious, are now well-behaved, gentle, and blissful. They're lovers of God. The only solution to the real problems of the world is to awaken our natural love for Krishna. Without that, we have to fill the emptiness of our heart with so many artificial impositions. We have to. Why not fill our heart with what the heart is thirsting and longing for? The nectar of love. I have seen devotees. It's their habit. As soon as they wake up in the morning, they bow down to the Lord and pray to Him. They don't even think. They get up in the morning, immediately bow down. Have you seen? It's a habit. They start their day surrendering their lives to God and offering Him prayers. Of course, within that habit, the habit is the form. Ritual is a form in which it has facilitated the spirit of our prayer, the spirit of our devotion, the spirit of our ideals. Srila Prabhupada told us that he had shed hundreds of tons of blood to bring one person to Krishna consciousness. That is the spirit of his compassion. And it wasn't something artificial. It was his nature. That is the nature of one who loves Krishna. When we have that pure consciousness, When we have that pure love, we can naturally overcome all our habits. And then we can express our love in everything we do, in our business, in our family. Krishna consciousness is not the art of negation. It is the art of transformation. Transform your family life into an offering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Transform your occupational endeavors to that which is an expression of your love of Godhead. Every aspect of our life becomes spiritualized naturally when our heart is pure. So please, I beg you, with all earnestness from my heart, take these words very seriously. The world is in desperate need of purification of the heart. Even in the name of religion, there is hatred, terrorism, sectarianism, and envy. What to speak of secular society? There is pollution all over as an expression of the pollution within people's minds. So whether you are engineers or doctors or business people or students, or whether you be politicians, whatever field of profession you may go into, try to work for the salvation of humanity. If you're not a part of the solution, then you're a part of the problem. Every spirit soul, every person is such a valuable, significant child of God. Lord Chaitanya explained that all the wealth in all of creation is not as valuable to him as one person. That is God's feeling. And as a servant of God, we want to offer all respect and offer a proper example which will elevate and enlighten society. We cannot estimate how powerful good example is. The youth of India is so close to Krishna, but running in an opposite direction. Please seriously consider what really is valuable in life. Do not subject yourself to succumb to the degrading habits of this world. Cultivate auspicious, good spiritual habits. Purify the heart. Learn to love God and learn to love every living being in the service of God, and make a real significant difference in the world today. I thank you very much.
Maharaj, sometimes we forget the things, what to do about these habits, means forgetting the giving message or forgetting the things habit.
Habit of forgetfulness?
Yeah.
By practice. If we practice remembering, then naturally we condition ourselves to remember. Of course, Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya Chaham Ritisha Nivishtomata Smitira Jnanam Apohanam Sha, that ultimately he is the source of remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. Krishna facilitates according to our desires. What is the most important thing to remember? Huh? Krishna. Antakali chamam eva smaran makva kalam. Yam yam bapi smaran bhavam chajatyante kalevaram. If we are in the habit of remembering Krishna in life, we will naturally remember Krishna at the time of death. And then we will attain Krishna without fail. That is his promise. Krishna says, whatever you remember at the time of death, that state you will attain. Whatever your condition, whatever you're habituated to remember most in life, will be your last thought at death, naturally. Yes? So the most important thing to remember is Krishna. All the teachings of all the scriptures are servants to support two instructions: to always remember Krishna and never forget Krishna. We have to make our priorities of importance. That is the most important thing to remember. And then as far as our life on a practical level, it's not really all that important whether we remember or forget the other things. But we simply have to practice. If our mind is concentrated, if our mind is clean, if we have proper concentration, then we naturally remember things better. So that comes through practice. Does that answer your question?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Sometimes we have to associate those who don't have good habits. So what to do at these particular situations?
We should respect all living beings, whatever their state of consciousness. However, we should seek the association of people who will elevate us and minimize the association of people who influence us toward degradation. That is essential. So if you have to associate with people like that, you can respectfully do the needful. But then if you balance your life so you're getting sufficient association with people who are inspiring you toward purification, that will protect you. Yes.
Did you see Lord Krishna, or do you find him around you, his presence? You feel his presence?
Krishna is here. We could all see him.
I mean to say, did you actually find himself?
It is explained in Brahma Samhita, Premanjana Churita Bhakti Vilochane, that when our eyes are anointed with the salve of love, then we can see Krishna. The art of seeing Krishna is something very practical. Just like Bhagavad Gita says that one who sees me everywhere and everything in me, for him I am never lost, nor is he ever lost to me. So a devotee wants to see Krishna everywhere, in and everything. How? If we understand everything is the property of Krishna, we will see everything in relationship to Krishna. I see this microphone. Even at the present state we are now, we can understand that this microphone is Krishna's energy meant for Krishna's service. Then we're seeing Krishna in the microphone. Just like if a lover sees the comb of her beloved, if he's some distance away, she may start crying. Her heart melts seeing the comb. Yes? This is a true story. Now, what is a comb? It's a piece of plastic. You may think, what is this crazy woman? She's crying over seeing a plastic comb. But she's not seeing a plastic comb. She's seeing that this is the property of her beloved, and she's seeing him. And in separation from that person who's long distance away, she's weeping. Her heart is overflowing in love upon seeing a comb. Arivo. So as we develop love for Krishna, we see that everything is the property of Krishna. Everything is the energy of Krishna. And we want to use everything in Krishna's service. This is a practical way in which we can see Krishna everywhere. This comes naturally as we chant his holy name and we have the proper association. We're learning the philosophy nicely so we understand the truth of the reality around us. The fact is, everything is the energy of God. So that is how we develop vision of Krishna. And through purification, gradually, through that love, we can actually experience Krishna everywhere, in every situation.
Hare Krishna, His Holiness. I'd like to ask two questions. My first question is, it is often said that people don't get things or things don't happen in lives of people before time or more than what is written in the destiny. To what extent is it applicable to the lives of the devotees in Krishna consciousness?
to what extent destiny applies to devotees? That is your question? What we are getting today is the destiny of what we have done in the past. In the Bible, Lord Jesus explains, as ye sow, so shall ye reap. In Bhagavad Gita, this is explained as the law of karma. For every action, there is an equal corresponding reaction. According to the choices we made in the past, we are getting reactions. That is our destiny. According to how we responded to our previous acts in the past, are you listening? I'm speaking to you. According to how we responded to the reactions of our past, we created another destiny. So what's going to happen to you now is predestined. But what your future is dependent on how you respond to the situations of today. Do you understand? Man makes his own destiny. Someone may come to insult you because you insulted someone in the past. That is your destiny. Now, if you punch him in the face, then someone is going to punch you in the face in the future. If you forgive him and tolerate it, then your destiny is going to be something very auspicious. If you forgive the person, if you take shelter of God, I deserve worse, my Lord. I take shelter of you. Then your destiny is you will get Krishna. That is intelligence. One's greatness has to be estimated by his ability to tolerate provoking situations. Is there any other question?
So we have a very interesting next question. Just before that, I would like to welcome some important guests who are here with us today. I would like to welcome Dr. Mohanty, who is Associate Professor of Orthopedics in KM Hospital. We also have with us His Grace Sarvabhauma Prabhu, who is the Vice President of ISKCON Krishna Balaram Mandir at Sridham Vrindavan. Also, we have His Grace Kaunteya Prabhu, who is in charge of the Congregational Ministry in ISKCON. Also, we have His Grace Radhesham Prabhu, who is the Temple President of ISKCON at Pune, and His Grace Ekalavya Prabhu, who is the Temple President of ISKCON at Solapur. So we would like to welcome all of these wonderful guests who are here with us by loudly chanting. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! And I would like to read the next question, which has been put forward by one student. When I go to study in the afternoon or evening, I go off to sleep. How should I overcome this habit?
When I was a student, I also had that habit. Gauranga Prabhu, you were a good student. How to stay awake in your studies? It's not really my topic to discuss, but how to transcendentalize this question. My suggestion to you is get enough sleep when you're supposed to sleep. I know when I was pujari, I was average sleeping about 2.5 hours a day. But I was so eager to read my Guru Maharaj's books. Eagerness can overcome so many obstacles. Enthusiasm. If you're enthusiastic to do something, where there's a will, there's a way. So actually, I read practically all of Srila Prabhupada's books, 40 volumes, walking back and forth. Because as soon as I sat down, I fell asleep. So it is important. Enthusiasm gives us power. Eagerness gives us power. And you can actually invoke enthusiasm within you if you have a purpose. If you're studying for a spiritual purpose, then your study becomes very, very unlimitedly meaningful. If you're just studying to get a degree and make some money, I know when I was studying for that purpose, I used to fall asleep a lot. But if you're thinking, this is a service to God, this is an offering to God, I'm going to use what I learn in God's service, then you have a higher purpose, you have a higher meaning. There'll be an enthusiasm. And with that enthusiasm, you'll figure out the means by which you can stay awake. Yes? You'll adjust your sleeping times, you'll adjust your eating, you'll adjust your basic habits of life to facilitate what is important. People today are often very, very unregulated. If we regulate our lives with the inspiration and the enthusiasm to fulfill a particular goal, then God helps those who help themselves. So my suggestion is this: establish a very high purpose for your studies. Service to the absolute truth, service to God. Even if it's engineering, even if it's medicine, even if it's business management, let it be an offering to the Lord to be used in His service. And then that becomes a devotional activity. It becomes a transcendental meditation, studying. If you have nice sadhana, if you're chanting and associating with proper people, then that motivation becomes not only just a conception, it becomes a reality. I am doing this for a spiritual purpose. I'll get good grades to inspire other people to respect the path of Dharma. Because they see that that's what I believe. When you take that responsibility with that enthusiasm, then you will use your intelligence to figure out the ways and the means by which you will stay awake in your studies.
Hare Krishna.
I would also like to welcome few special guests who are also with us. His Grace Krishnanam Prabhu. He was the Chief Financial Officer for Siemens Nixdorf, and he is the CEO designate for the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust. As all of you know, Srila Prabhupada's books are published by the BBT. And also we have with us His Grace Muralidhar Prabhu, who is a dentist by profession and one of the counselors in Sri Srinada Gopinath Bhakti Samaj. And also we have His Grace Prema Kirtan Prabhu and group of devotees from Hyderabad who are also present with us. And also a group of devotees who are traveling with Ekalavya Prabhu from Sholapur. So we'd like to welcome all of these devotees also. Hari Bol!
Hari Bol! Hari Bol!
So maybe we can have one or two questions and then we can have the last kirtan. So one very important question is, Maharaj, is false ego a bad habit and how to overcome it?
Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahankara iti yame bina pratyarashtata.
The false ego is the product of bewilderment. It is the actual root of the root of all the weeds of our material conditionings. It is the essence of material misconception and bondage. And it is the most difficult thing to overcome. We must cultivate knowledge of our real ego, both academically, philosophically, and practically. The false ego is, I am this body, and all things in relationship to this body are mine. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. This misconception of I and mine are the root cause of all material suffering. Now, the impersonalist philosophers try to eradicate I and mine altogether. But essentially, that eradication is just cutting the weed. And in due course of time, it has to grow back. The process of rooting it out is transformation. To replace the illusion that I am this body and all the designations of this body are me and all things in relation to the body are mine must be purified and replaced with the highest truth that I am the Atma. I am the eternal soul. I am Satchidananda. I am part of the Supreme Soul. And what is mine? The chance to glorify, to honor, to love the Supreme Soul through my service. So the process of devotional service replaces or purifies the false ego and brings it to its healthy state of real ego. If you're diseased, rather than killing your body, cure your body. If you're diseased, rather than nourishing and perpetuating the disease, cure the disease. False ego is disease. We shouldn't try to kill our ego, and we shouldn't keep providing those contaminations which further aggravate our disease. We should purify our ego. That is why we chant the name of God. That is why we serve the Lord as the servant of the servant of the servant. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught this principle that when we identify ourselves as the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, and we practically apply that principle to our life, it purifies the false ego. Negates all illusion and lets our eternal, ecstatic identity emerge. And the simplest way of doing that is by striving to be humble like a blade of grass, tolerant like a tree, offer all respect to all other living beings, and expect no respect for oneself. If we try to practically apply these principles in our life, then we become perfectly purified through the sincere chanting of the holy name. Concern for the welfare of the youth of Bombay. They work so hard to organize these programs and make this wonderful gathering possible. As you can see, my habit is to accept the imprisonment of the loving orders of these wonderful souls. Let us very loudly offer our thankfulness to them. Please do chant very loudly and raise your arms in a spirit of sincere devotion.